We all want to do this or what?
Yeah, let's do the damn thing. Hey, it's a Wednesday night show here on Real Liberty Media. Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Just looking for a little something to do tonight. Maybe share some, I don't know, stuff. Thanks, Cowboy Tech. Yep, I mean, it was kind of redneck music, I think. It suits me anyway. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Of course, I'll cut it out of the, you know, recording that. Podcast, but live we do it. All right, I get to start my New Year's weekend tonight. I don't have to work tomorrow or Friday, so that's awesome. Or Saturday or Sunday for that matter, so that's awesome. And had a good day. Actually, I had a pretty good week. Monday, couldn't go to work, too much snow. And Tuesday I went to work late, like about 10 o'clock when the road was, I'd cleared off the road. I have about a mile and something of road to clear between here and the paved road. So cleared that off on the weekend, but we just got to have a late start on Tuesday, yesterday. So that was cool. And then today, a full day, saw a lot of people that really needed to be helped before the weekend. So that was awesome. We got them seen. And I haven't heard anything about Vinny, but I hope Vinny's doing better. He's going through some issues. Vinny's been one of the people who's now taken the reins of Real Liberty Media and RLMRadio.xyz. And unfortunately, he's going to be down and out for a bit, but we're going to keep it going. And so I hope he's doing fine. I know I'll get an update sometime tonight. And that'll be great. What else? Oh, yeah. So I was talking about the snow here. There still is a ton of snow here. And we're going to get down to about 19 degrees tonight. That's what they're saying, which is really kind of unusual. Although we had a spell last year. Matter of fact, it was after I started this show, I think. Nope, I bet it was, I don't know. Yeah, it was before I started this show. We had that deep freeze ice for about a week. Just ice, like not snow. It was like freezing rain and just clear ice on everything. So, and it was pretty damn cold last year for about a week also, but this is kind of unusual. So tonight's going to suck. Tomorrow morning, more snow coming in and it'll be in the 20s or something. So kind of a good time to just kick it at home. And man, I bet the sledding though, that the grandkids have been coming over and they've been sledding, and I built them a really nice ramp to get going down the hill. We have some of our property is pretty sloped for a long way, so they could get a pretty good run going. And I bet like today, like yesterday, they actually had really started to lengthen their run because, you know, they had packed down the snow enough and gone down it enough times that they were really getting some distance. But I bet if they do it tomorrow, they're going to go clear to the end of the property or maybe into the implement building. That'd be funny. Big steel building with, you know, tractors and stuff in it. Anyway, yeah, so that's the weather here. I know for some people like Moose Girl, it's really nothing because we only have a foot of snow and 20 degrees. But, you know, for us here on the in the Pacific Northwest, in the valley or toward the coast, it's pretty unusual. So anyway, pretty fun, though. You know, got a lot of stuff going on. Like I said, with the grandkids coming up and playing all the time, and they've really been enjoying the snow, and they don't have to go that far because they only live about 2 miles away. So they can just come up here, you know, have snowball fights. They were, they took the quad out and were dragging, you know, each other around on inner tubes. I was just waiting for somebody to get run over or, you know, our arm twisted off because they were just holding a rope with their hand, which was fine. But because then they could, like, let go whenever they got too terrified or whatever. Oh, yeah, probably people are going to report us for, you know, abusing the grandkids or something. I don't know. But they sure had fun or were having fun. All right. Yeah, I just thought I would do, like, throw an extra show in during the week, try and get in the habit of being prepared to do a show, and usually there's some notes left over from the weekend show I do, so, and sometimes I just throw those notes away. Sometimes I kind of put them in the stack for the next show, but heck, you know, in this day and age, like, if you hang on to information for a week, it's outdated. Like, some of it is really outdated. It's hard to keep up with some of the stuff that's going on in the world today, that's for sure. But I did have, like, some little bit of, oh, my stupid phone. I didn't turn the volume off. We got to fix that right away. No more phone noise interruptions during the show. It's not allowed. Okay, there we go. You know, before I go back to that, I wanted to tell you guys, especially those of you who've been with me from the beginning, which was only about a year ago now, and you remember my, like, my persistence of getting this audio thing going and figuring it out. And I got to tell you, like, right now, I am so happy with the way things are. And I think just mainly doing a broadcast and using all these tools, you know, you kind of get used to using them. Or maybe what I want to say is you get used to looking for problems if there's going to be problems. And you, I don't know, it's just been fun to kind of play around with all these different tools. And I don't want to make it sound complicated. It's not. I mean, my setup may be a lot more complex than a lot of people. When I would talk to Grimner about this, I think, Grimner was just such a polite man. He probably didn't understand why I would want to do stuff the way I wanted to do it, because he would always say, just get your microphone working and, you know, sound working and, you know, it's easy. Then send it out on the broadcast. Yeah, that's cool. It can literally be that easy, but not for me, because I always have to overdo things, you know. I always have to kind of put myself in it deep enough so I understand what's going on. And hopefully, it seems like when I listen back to podcasts myself, it sounds pretty good. And I can tell when there's stuff that's not right. And I always try and make adjustments ahead of time so that, when the final product comes out, it's fine. You know, people listen to it and it's not a hassle. It doesn't hurt their ears. Hopefully the quality is fine and, you know, everybody's happy, and I'll tell you something else. The software I'm using, like, to record while the show is broadcasting, that software is, like, bulletproof. And of course, now that I said that, something's going to come up that'll prove that it's not. But I'm telling you guys, like, this recording software, if my computer were to right now shut down for whatever reason, when I reboot and pull up this program, it is going to have the entire file saved to the second that the computer shut down. What I'm saying is, then nothing is lost. Like, my audio recording isn't a waste, because it is going directly to the hard drive as I'm recording, which is awesome. And then, you know, I manipulate it or edit it later before I put it up to make sure there's not a lot of dead space or whatever. But anyway, I just want to let you know, like compared to a year ago, I am really happy with the way the audio setup is going for this, for the broadcast. Thanks, Rob Works. In case I needed an excuse, the digital manipulator exceeding velocity parameters, that's the problem. So luckily I have that recorded. Okay. Let's see. Where do we want to go today? I do have kind of a cool recording I want to play for you. Oh, but I'll tell you what. I want to tell you what the things that, you know, can irritate me. And currently the irritation is everything is COVID's fault. And that is just driving me crazy. Because as most of my listeners know, COVID didn't do it. Like, you look at the travel situation over the holiday this weekend, and this week for that matter. Some people are waiting 3 days to get rescheduled from flights that were canceled. And you hear, you know, broadcast after broadcast, you know, mainstream media show after mainstream media show, you know, that it's COVID. COVID's causing it. The Omicron variant outbreak, which is minor at best, that's the cause of the airplane shutting down. That's the cause of the supply chain issue. That's the cause of having to wait to access health care because COVID did it. It's COVID's fault. Nothing is COVID's fault. Absolutely nothing is COVID's fault, if there is a COVID. Let's just say, for the sake of this argument, that there's a COVID. COVID isn't making a shortage of supplies at the grocery store. COVID isn't making a shortage of qualified employees to work. Policies, bureaucrats, they're the ones who are responsible for these flight delays. They're the ones who are responsible for me having to tell patients, luckily I don't have to tell patients, I have staff to do it for me. Hey, guess what? They don't say it like that. My staff is so good at what they do. And I don't know how they do it, but they actually have to tell people, you know, let's say, I don't know how many people I saw today that I had to extract a tooth on because it wasn't salvageable, and they had been having pain, and we have managed their pain to the point where I could get them numb and take the teeth out. So today I probably saw 7 people. Now, if they have another problem, you know when they're going to get seen again? Like April. It's December. Okay, it's almost January. April. That's when you're going to get seen again. You know, if you come in for a routine appointment to get a filling, and I do a filling for you today, and then you schedule your next appointment, guess when you're going to get seen? April. How many fillings can I do in one appointment? And how many people can I see with 1 or 2 assistants? I mean, there's a limit, but did COVID do it? No, there's no COVID. There's no COVID in my office. There's no COVID in, oh my God. Now that I said this, I'm probably going to get COVID. Hey, but luckily I ordered ivermectin and I know how to make the hydroxychloroquine. Actually, chloroquine, I don't know how you make it hydroxy. Actually, I guess I do know how you make it hydroxy. You have to add a hydroxyl to it. I will save that for another day. But it isn't COVID. It's not like COVID has wiped out a huge segment of the population. At best, it's wiped out a very small percentage of the population. Like, I don't even know if it's a percentage of the population. As a matter of fact, I know it's not a percentage. It's a portion of 1% of the population. And that's only if you actually believe that the numbers they tell you are all from COVID. COVID didn't do it. COVID's not making, you know, not preventing vehicles from coming out and sanding the roads because now they're all frozen. COVID's not the one responsible for, you know, cars sliding off the road because they haven't been, you know, treated with salt or sand, or they haven't been plowed. It's not COVID. It's the policies of tyrants like Kate Brown here in Oregon, you know, and the federal government who's put all these restrictions on us. It's not COVID. It's bureaucrats. They're the ones who have halted this, whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it the economic system, if you want to call it the employment system, if you want to just call it society in general, like normal operations. COVID didn't do it and is not doing it, especially this current variant of COVID. You know, the current variant makes people sick, you know, sniffles. You know, you don't feel so good, kind of like the regular flu. But COVID isn't stopping the entire, you know, entire society from carrying on. COVID isn't preventing you from visiting your grandkids or your family or going and having Christmas or New Year's together or going to Times Square in New York City. COVID didn't do that. People did that. People are doing that. And I thank God people are waking up. You know, the people who up till now have been, you know, playing the game. And I think finally, God, unfortunately, it's taken 2 years, you know, 15 days to flatten the curve. Yeah, it's going to be 2 years and a few months. 15 days, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. COVID isn't doing it. People are doing it. And I hope to God they pay the price at some point. I really hope to God that at some point somebody makes these people accountable for what they have done. I mean, every day I'm seeing more and more reports. And I can go either way on this thing, man, because it's tough. You know, there's, you know, what do they call it? COVID something syndrome, COVID, like, it's almost like a post-traumatic stress disorder. It's like COVID distress syndrome. Not only, like, just in regular people, I mean, the whole spectrum, there's a whole spectrum of people that are being affected by, you know, by the restrictions. And it's not COVID that's doing it. COVID isn't making people stressed out. COVID's just a stupid little virus, if it is a virus, if it actually exists. It's not capable of doing anything other than attaching itself to a host. And it doesn't even do that actively. It does that passively. Like COVID doesn't have arms and legs. Viruses don't have arms and legs. They travel via other ways. They either travel through blood, you know, transmission, through salivary transmission, through aerosol transmission. That's right. Viruses aren't even alive. They have to attach to a host and then get their little, you know, virus bodies kind of taken into host cells and have the host cells replicate them and put them back together. That's the only way a virus continues to live. It's not capable of telling somebody they can't go to work. It's not capable of telling somebody you can't harvest your crops. It's not capable of telling airlines to cancel flights. It's not capable of saying stopping the supply chain from continuing on. People are doing that. Governments are doing that. You know, all the way from federal, state, city, counties. They're all responsible. They are the ones doing everything that they say COVID is doing. It's COVID's fault. It's not COVID's fault. It's people's fault. And I'll be glad when everybody wakes up. I'll be glad when everybody is actually finally tired of it. Although I got to tell you, honest to God, I know people in this world who are perfectly fine being slaves for their entire lives. They may not know that they're slaves, but I know people who are perfectly happy serving the government, not being able to go out and seek their own health care, not being able to go out and get their own procedures or shop for their own doctors or buy whatever stuff they want to buy with their money because the government says, here, you can have this much money. That's what you get for this month or whatever, and you can spend it on certain things and not some other things. And yeah, I know people cheat the system. I get that. But I know people that are just perfectly happy with that situation. I know people that actually promote that kind of lifestyle. And I think that they don't actually understand that they are just a different kind of slave. And I mean, maybe, you know, I can understand people saying, well, you work for somebody. You're a slave to somebody. You're right. I am. I am. Like everybody else. You work for somebody. Well, you're kind of their slave. I trade my skill for a certain amount of money. I think it's fair. I don't think I'm mistreated, obviously. I just don't understand, man. I really don't understand. I used to have these arguments with my sister, who's a liberal, and she just thought, you know, socialized medicine would be the greatest thing in the world. And I worked in socialized medicine, and I told her, look, it's not what you think it is. You know, you think you're going to give away health care. And you are, I guess. But guess what? Then there's limits to that health care. You know, you get your, you know, arm cut off in a tractor accident on the farm. Although that might not make sense because those people probably wouldn't be on the government assistance. I don't know. But let's say, so you lose your arm in an accident and you go to the hospital and they're like, yeah, we can't save your arm. We're going to take it off. Oh, okay. Well, you know, are you going to make me a prosthetic for that? I don't know. Do you really need a prosthetic arm? I mean, it sounds a little ridiculous. I know. But truthfully, that's what happens. It's like, I don't know. That's an awful lot of money to spend on your prosthetic arm. Are you going to use it for anything? Like, you know, are you going to go to work? Are you going to, you know, I don't even know if they go that far in their argument. I think they just figure if you're on the government system, if you're in socialized medicine, it's like, we don't cover prosthetic arms. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a good example. You know, a lot of us are getting to that point where, you know, Social Security is looking at us, or Medicaid or Medicare. I don't even know what it's called, and, you know, I'm like a year away from it. And yeah, I know, they already started sending me the crap, and I'm ignoring it, probably like everything else, till the last minute. But I have patients all the time that come into me, and they're like, oh, but next year I'm going to go on Social Security, and then I'll have dental. And I kind of look at them and go, oh, do you know what Social Security covers in dental? And they're like, no. And I'm like, nothing. Yeah, there's no dental coverage on your Social Security plan. They might cover an extraction. I'm not 100% sure about that. But people think that, I hear this all the time. Oh, I'm gonna be on Social Security. I'm getting ready to retire, so I'll be able to get my dentures then. I'm like, oh, did you save up some money for those dentures? No? Oh, guess what? It's not covered. No, Social Security doesn't give a rat's ass if you have a denture or not. They don't. They figure, God, I'm going to be cynical about this. They just figure if you're 60-something and retired, you can drink your food. As a matter of fact, they used to tell us in one of the public health systems I was in, not the Bureau of Prisons, which is kind of interesting, but they used to tell us, just write your patient prescription for Ensure. I know this probably isn't making sense to a lot of people. Okay, but here's what I'm getting at. So you lose all your teeth throughout your lifetime while you're slaving away at work or whatever. And then you get to be 65 and you think, okay, I'm going to retire and everything is going to be covered. And you go to the dentist and you're like, yeah, I'm retired. I have Social Security, whatever that is. And I'd like to get a denture. And they're like, oh, yeah, dentures aren't covered, but I can give you a prescription for Ensure. You guys know what Ensure is? Ensure is like a high-calorie drink. Do you understand why it's like kind of stupidly funny? That's right. It's a drink. It's full of calories and probably has vitamins and other nutrition in it. But honest to God, that's the solution. It's like, we don't care if you have a denture or not. You can drink your calories. You know, get a blender or just buy liquid food or buy soup that is so overcooked that, yeah, you can mash it with your gums. Same thing with this, you know, with this, like the current medical situation, I guess. You know, and here's something else. I hate to get sidetracked, but it's a good time to get sidetracked. You know, I keep hearing that people don't have certain coverage, and I have to keep asking them and myself, like, well, I thought Obamacare was going to fix all this. I thought we all were going to be covered with Obamacare. But still, so many people are not covered. Like, there's so many people without insurance for whatever reason. And if you remember correctly, you know, that was Obamacare's, you know, that was Obama's signature, you know, legislation, was making sure that every American had health care. I just see a lot of people without freaking health care. Or maybe it was every American would have insurance. And maybe that insurance just doesn't cover crap. I don't know. But sad state. Anyway, basically, I got off on a little bit of a rant here because COVID is the cause of a shortage of dental assistants, a shortage of nurses, a shortage of doctors, limited access to health care, limited access to groceries and supplies, limited numbers, quantity of supplies because, of course, of the supply chain. It's all COVID's fault. And yet COVID can't do any of that. Like the most COVID can do is make somebody sick. That's it. People are the cause of all of this stuff. All of the delays, all of the shortages, people are the cause of it. Legislators are the cause of it. Tyrants are the cause of it. Where are we at here? Man, we are cruising for a middle of the week show. That's awesome. All right, I'm going to play this little bit for you. I hope you enjoy it. Somebody actually posted this in the chat room earlier this week, and I was like, this is something else that's really cool about this audio setup. It's like you guys post something, and if it's good,
Well, I could do one of two things. I can either kind of save it as a bookmark to go back to and play it during the show, or I can just make my own recording and have it in my lineup to play for you guys. And that's what we're going to do right now. So this is like 2 minutes. I'll get a little drink while it's playing, refresh my, everything. And I'll be back.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death. A booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
The plan is for every adult to get a booster shot.
Clearly one of the best investments I've ever been involved in.
Yeah, clearly one of the best investments Bill Gates ever been involved in. How about that? And you know what? I still hear, even today, and I get so, it's so irritating to listen to these people like in real time, everyday sound bites. I mean, I laugh constantly and I start cussing at whatever it is that they're on, if it's TV, radio, internet, whatever it is. And I keep thinking, how can you continue this lie? So what I hear today from, of course, Oregon Health Authority, who is just parroting what they hear from others, is, to get the booster because it still shows that you're not going to be as sick as if you didn't get the booster. Which, again, I will reiterate my belief that there's no way for anybody to tell that you're not going to be as sick because you got the booster. There's no way to do any kind of study. It's a completely subjective comment for somebody to say you're not going to be as sick if you get the booster, because there's no way for them to know how sick you would have been without the booster and then how sick you were going to be with the booster. There's no way to tell. Individual to individual, you can't tell. Schrodinger's box again, or Schrodinger's cat, I guess it's called. God, is that the right name, Schrodinger? I get confused because I think Schrodinger also did some something about a light wave or a light particle. I don't know. I hope it's Schrodinger's cat, just so I don't seem like much of an idiot. Like I care. Oh, thanks, Rob. Appreciate that. All right, what else do I have? Oh, I did want to talk about this. This may be the great, perfect way to kind of, transition. Okay, so without giving you much gory detail about my personal life, I bet you all really want to know, don't you? No, you don't. Okay, like in 2013, I was pretty much tired of the way my body was reacting to food. And being scientifically minded, having the background that I've had studying biology and molecular biology at the University of Oregon, and I kind of had a sense that GMOs were screwing up our guts. And mine was pretty screwed up. And like I said, I'm going to leave out the gory details about how screwed up my gut is, but I really got tired of it. And somebody told me about the Whole30 diet, and I hate to call it a diet because it's really just eating real food, and you cut out certain things, like you can't have rice, you can't have, I forget all the stuff you can, well, you can't have flour or grain, I think, no dairy. When I read the little book, I bought the book, the Whole30, whatever it's called. I think it's just called Whole30. I don't even think they call it a diet. But basically, you just eat whole food, like real food. Like real food, nothing processed. And it made me think, I don't know why I was thinking about this week. Oh, I know why I was thinking about it this week, because I was thinking about people who, you know, are trying to prepare for there to be supply shortages. And I was thinking about, like, all the food you see in a store. So when you walk into a store, a grocery store, I'm air quoting, grocery store, the next time you walk in, and probably some of you have done this, just stop inside the door and just look. Because you can see over the top of most of those aisles, right? And they all have these signs about, you know, where to go to get whatever, this, that, and the other. And just remember that everything in a box is processed. Pretty much, I would say almost everything in a can is processed. I'm trying to get to this point. The Whole30 diet, when I started doing it, you really only had to go to, well, you had to go to the produce section, the fruit and vegetable section, and you had to go to the meat section, and I think you could do eggs. Yeah, you could do eggs. So it really cut down the amount of time you spent in a store, because you didn't have to go up and down aisles looking for stuff, right? And I'm going to tell you something about my little experience with that whole situation. Is when I was sick, and I was just sick, okay? I was just, my gut wasn't processing food correctly. And before I started the Whole30 thing, okay, this is what happened. I finally got to a point where I said to myself, okay, I either am going to have to go to a doctor and find out what's wrong, or I should actually eat really healthy for a while and see if that doesn't fix my gut. Because I, like most people, I don't like to go to the doctor. Although I am going to do a show soon on preventative medicine because I think it's important. But let's just say that I chose to take control of my eating habits and eat differently. But before I started that, I mean, there were some weeks where I would just drink fluids because everything I ate made me ill. And, like, you know those things that your mom told you when you were a kid? Like, my mom would say, well, eat some soda crackers. Okay, so I ate soda crackers. Made me sick. Eat rice or rice cereal. I eat rice cereal. Made me sick. You know, I would find the most bland food I could eat, and it would make me sick. And so finally I was like, okay, if all of this stuff is making me sick, what is the common denominator in all of this stuff? Well, if you're a rocket scientist, you may be able to go through all of the stuff on these foods to figure out what's in it and figure out which of those things is making you sick. I can tell you this. I remember about 15, 20 years ago, and I forget the name of the show that came out, but it basically talked about all of the things that come from corn that are in processed foods. And it was like 80% of the products in a grocery store that are processed have some form of corn in it. And of course, guess what's one of the first crops that we GMO'd was corn. So we have GMO, we have genes of other critters put in a plant that's grown in massive quantities and then harvested and reprocessed into almost every single processed food in the grocery store. I think 80% of processed foods have, like, look for dextrose or there's like a, probably 50 to 100 different names of corn byproducts that are in processed food. So, like, my belief was that GMOs were screwing us up. Because I don't know about you guys, I don't know if irritable bowel syndrome existed when you were kids. I never heard of it until I was an adult, like 30, 40, 50-year-old adult. And you start hearing about irritable bowel syndrome and Crohn's disease and, you know, all of these things that are starting to affect people's livelihood because it's screwing up their gut so bad. And you won't hear a lot of people just come out and say, well, it's the GMOs that are doing it. Because you can almost bet that the companies who are making these GMOs are controlling any kind of research that would show that the GMOs are damaging us. So back to my story. So I started doing this Whole 30 thing. And I read the book and I see, like, okay, you can eat all these vegetables, you can eat, you know, some fruits, and, you know, you can have meats, and actually you could even have canned meat if it was really just meat, like fish, tuna fish, or herring, I think. They didn't want you having mayonnaise, I remember that. It was like you could make your own mayonnaise, but it had to be from something, I forget what. I never did it. I was never good at it, so I didn't do it. I just stuck with other stuff like mustard or something. I can't remember. But anyway, so for 30 days, you eat nothing but whole food, real food. Food as it exists, you know, in the world. Unprocessed, untouched, which for me meant I couldn't have any meat that I couldn't kind of prove didn't have hormones, wasn't fed corn from GMO fields, et cetera, et cetera. So after literally a couple days of eating whole food, I was no longer sick. After a week of eating whole food, I felt pretty damn good. You know, things were changing back to what I considered normal for the other 50 years of my life. And I was grateful. And I'm not promoting a Whole 30 experiment unless you're having issues. I think it's a great way to get some answers. So I'm going to tell you what happens after 30 days. So after you've eaten whole food for 30 days, you can start introducing things back into your diet, kind of like one at a time, so you can figure out what things are, you know, upsetting your system. So, almost immediately, I wanted bread. I wanted bread, like, I wanted freshly baked, warm, I didn't care, some kind of bread. And sure enough, made me sick. And I was thinking, gluten? Like, is it a gluten intolerance? Because, of course, that's what everybody would say. Oh, you have a gluten intolerance. Could be true. Except that wheat is another one of those products that is GMO'd, that is raised in tremendous quantities in this country. So pretty much every single thing made with flour in this country has GMO wheat in it. I mean, we were getting really serious about kind of thinking about this, like, hey, maybe we should buy our own flour mill. I forget what you call it. Yeah, it's a mill. Like you mill your own flour, you know, make your own flour. And grow our own wheat so that we know what is in the wheat. But we didn't go that far because fortunately, you can actually buy certified foods that are non-GMO. And of course, you remember when activists tried to get the government to label foods as containing GMO ingredients, the government wouldn't do it. Because all those big companies, you know, that GMO everything, well, they didn't want people not to buy their product. And if you put GMO on it, that's like saying that it's negative, that there's something wrong with our product. So, of course, they lobbied against having ingredients labeled as GMO'd or non-GMO'd. So, I couldn't eat bread, at least I thought. And then, so I took that out, and I put, I started adding dairy. And then it's like, you know, it made me sick again, like cheese, make me sick. Milk, make me sick. You know, anything with a dairy product in it would make me sick. And I'm like, oh, lactose. I'm lactose intolerant. Well, where does milk come from? Cows. What do they feed cows? You know, they feed cows like in those feedlots, you can't imagine what they feed those cows. On those big dairy farms, you know, they feed them corn silage, which is all the stuff left over after they take the corn. Well, guess what? The GMO is in that leaf. It's not just in the corn seed. It's in the entire plant. It's GMO'd. So corn goes into the cow. Cow makes milk to feed its calf. The you know, and the circus continues. Now, I have made a personal decision not to drink milk because actually, if you think about it, like we're one of the only, matter of fact, I would go out on a limb and say we're like the only adult animal that continues to drink milk as an adult. I could be wrong about that because I don't know about every single animal on the planet. But pretty much when an animal gets weaned, they're weaned. That means no more milk. And I can live without milk. I don't know if I could live without cheese or cream cheese. But those things don't make me ill anymore. Now, I will tell you that I know that I have a certain level of tolerance for dairy products. So I can only do a certain amount before it's like time to stop doing a dairy product. And I try and be very careful to select products that are very organic, that I know where they come from, that I know the source, and that, you know, hopefully I know that they're not using GMO stuff in their milk. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. But I don't do milk anymore. I do, you know, some of those substitutes. They're fine. Doesn't bother me a bit. Love it. But anyway, yeah. So we can go on and tell people that they're lactose intolerant, or tell them that they're gluten intolerant, or you have gluten allergy or lactose allergy. But really, I'd be willing to bet that probably, I don't know, 95% of those people are not lactose or gluten intolerant or have allergies to lactose or gluten. They have allergies or reactions to GMO, you know, varied, whatever they're doing to our gut. And it's sad because most people won't take the trip. Most people won't do 30 days of just eating real food. And I got to tell you, I mean, in some ways, you know, like when you're looking for that snack, like I just want to, you know, take a bite of something right now. It's not that easy because you're looking for a certain something. And that certain something, you can't go to the cupboard, open it up and have some Cheez-Its or have some potato chips. You know, you have to kind of stick with the 30-day thing. And, you know, if you really want to find out, then do that thing. Anyway, running out of time. Hey, thank you guys for joining me on a Wednesday night. I'm going to try and make this a regular thing. We're going to get some more people doing shows. But I just want to thank you guys for joining me. And I hope you have a great rest of your week. And I will see you on New Year's Day. So thanks so much. And what are we going to go out with? I know one of... There we go.